And really, the word that we're going to talk about tonight is, in essence, almost the same thing. Atonement, at-one-ment, as we talked about a few weeks ago. I think had we lived under the Old Testament times, we probably appreciated the idea of what sin was, maybe more than we do today. When you go back and look at the Old Testament, especially as you get into the book of Leviticus, the idea of what a scapegoat was and what the sacrifice was offered on behalf of an individual only carried that sin over to the next year. You had two goats in this particular idea, and we're going to talk about a tale of two goats tonight and looking at Leviticus chapter 16 and what atonement truly is, and then relate that to what Jesus Christ does for us today. When you think about the idea of Leviticus chapter 16 in relation to what the high priest does, the high priest is in essence exactly what Jesus Christ does for us also. He is that mediator. The high priest was one who went to God on behalf of the people and vice versa went to the people on behalf of God. He was the one who spoke to God directly. He was the one who met God at the mercy seat. He was the one who offered sacrifices on behalf of those that needed it. The nation of Israel needed it every single year. When you look at the tale of the two goats that you read about in Leviticus chapter 16, the atonement that was made on behalf of the people, these two goats represented the idea of what God's forgiveness represented, but also to show God's grace and mercy towards the people that He loved. And greatly He loved His children, yet the problem is they didn't love Him back like they should. When you think about what Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Because the nation of Israel had gotten to the point when the weeping prophet could not understand their lack of love and respect for what God had done for them, and because of that, we see them being sent into captivity. So when you think about what God is wanting the high priest to do to atone for the sins of a nation that needed it every single year, there was that reminder for them to remember exactly what they had done to God. You see, worship was offered to God on behalf of the high priest. It was his job to make sure the people were represented, and without the high priest, they had no hope, and they were helpless in their connectivity to God and what he was doing for them. But let's talk about the two main characters now that we see in Leviticus chapter 16. Let's look at the two goats. Because you had one goat that was offered for a sacrifice, and then you had the other goat who was the scapegoat. Now, we all know what the term scapegoat means, right? Somebody who stands in place to take really the guilt or the shame for the person who did the sin or committed the sin. And it was the scapegoat's job to really show forth the mercy and grace of God and what he had done for the nation of Israel. So the two goats were presented to God, as you see in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 7, and he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So once this was done, lots were cast to determine exactly which goat was going to be offered for a sacrifice and which goat was then going to be offered as the scapegoat. So the one goat would die. Leviticus 16 and verse 9 says, and Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented before the Lord to make an atonement with him and let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So we have the fate of the two goats being represented. The worst, obviously, we think, is going to be the goat that's going to be sacrificed. This wasn't, as we would say, just a butchering, so to speak. It was a pretty messy atonement in relation to what was given concerning the sins that it was representing. Because once the goat was then laid on the altar, his throat was slit, all the blood was drained out, the blood was then sprinkled upon the mercy seat, and all of this was to represent the idea of the sins that were committed against God, that they might understand exactly how they had upset God, but that they would remember every single year the atonement, the sacrifice concerning this kid that was placed upon this altar for the nation of Israel. And all of this was done by one person. And all of this was done on behalf of the nation of Israel. So the death of this goat was the substitute for the death of the sinner. That is, the goat would take the place of the children of Israel, just as Christ does for us. That he stood in our stead to go to the cross of Calvary to pay a debt, as we just sang a few moments ago, that we cannot pay. Something we could never give back, something that we can never even put a price tag on, because it is a priceless gift concerning what Christ did for us at Calvary. So imagine as this goat is laid out, as these perfect goats were chosen, one being the sin offering, one being the scapegoat, imagine if that was your family pet. This was what you were going to have to offer on behalf of your family, so to speak. And this is what happens in relation to the kid goat that's being given here. So it was by the grace and mercy of God that the animal would take place of the sinner, allowing the guilty to live, although they deserved absolutely to die. So we see just as Jesus Christ is the one who steps in and takes our place, this kid goat did exactly that concerning the atonement for the nation of Israel. So this process was repeated every year concerning the Day of Atonement, as you see in Leviticus 23 and verse 7, on the seventh day of the tenth month. So every year on the seventh day of the tenth month, the atonement sacrifice was given for the nation of Israel. So imagine every year on the same day you had to remember your sins just as the nation of Israel did. That you were going to be reminded that you needed God's graciousness, that you needed this sin offering, that they might be rolled forward one more year so that you would, what, survive or that you would live through God's wrath. But luckily, that's not something that we have to do today. Because Jesus Christ was that once and for all sacrifice for all of us. Just as we see in Hebrews chapter 10 in relation to that sacrifice, God isn't going to put His Son through this again. But yet, as you look at Leviticus chapter 16, every year that goat was offered that the nation of Israel might remember their sins before God, but also concerning the scapegoat, that somebody might be one to carry forth the burdens to the next year. So, the first goat reconciled the people to God, Leviticus 16 and verse 20, it reads, "And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat." So now that the sacrifice has been made on behalf of the nation of Israel concerning the sins and that atonement that's given, that animal's been slaughtered, the sins have been covered at that moment. At this point now, the live goat is going to be brought forward. This is the goat or the scapegoat. And you look at verse 21, "And Aaron shall lay both of his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all of the iniquities of the children of Israel and all of their transgressions and all of their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and he shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness." So we think the goat is getting off easy, right? But that's not the case. Because Aaron, being one of the priests, would pray over this goat, laying both hands upon this goat, praying for all of the sins and all of the iniquities to be laid upon this goat as a burden, and then the goat was going to be sent into the wilderness. So think about that for just a second in relation to John 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or have eternal life." So all of those sins that mankind commits because of the love of God are placed upon the shoulders of Christ that He might be our scapegoat to take the burdens away from us that we might see the mercy of God through the love at Calvary. So we have the goat that's being offered for the sins of the nation of Israel, just as Christ is being offered at Calvary, His blood being shed that our sins might be forgiven or atoned that we might be at one meant with God Himself that we can even stand in His presence. So you have the sin offering of the goat that's being slaughtered on the altar, and then you have the goat that shows the graciousness and the mercy of God that all of those burdens are now being placed upon that goat and that goat is being sent away. So think about the relief that takes place for the nation of Israel. Do you think perhaps as the 10th month and the 7th day got closer every year they were grateful for it? Or perhaps maybe they were nervous. You see, it was up to the high priest. It was up to him to stand in the stead of the people before God at the mercy seat to make sure this was taken care of. So without the high priest, there would be no hope for the nation of Israel. Just as Christ is also our high priest. So that second goat had a special job. He didn't die, but he carried a very heavy burden for the children of Israel. And we think about the sins that are lifted off of our shoulders because of the blood of Christ. Something for which I don't have to worry about anymore. That I'm raised to walk as a new creature, a new man, the old one being put to death. So the scapegoat bears the burdens of their sin, and he's sent away from the people. But listen to this in Leviticus 16 and verse 22. That he sent away alone, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let go of the goat in the wilderness. All by himself, that goat was going to take upon the burdens of Israel, just as Christ, all by his lonesome, took upon our burdens at Calvary. All because of what we did is why we put him there. So you think about Jesus really not only being the high priest, not only being the atonement for our sins, that is, making sure those sins are washed away, but he's also the scapegoat for us too, because he stands in our place that we don't have to. And God was willing to do that for all of us. Think about the modern application. Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest, our profession, Jesus Christ. Or Hebrews 4 verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, again, Jesus being the scapegoat, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. But probably the greatest thing we need is that mediator, just as the high priest was the mediator between God and the people, we need Jesus Christ so that we might stand justified, another word that we've looked at this year, justified, never sinned, that we might be justified as we stand before God, that Jesus Christ is our mediator, and basically what Jesus Christ says is he is not guilty. That sin is not to be laid to their charge. You see how I always picture it as the devil coming forth before God and says, look at all of these sins that I can list here. Jesus says, not on my watch. Because just as the Bible tells us, our sins are cleansed, we are white as snow, those crimson sins are no longer counted to our stead, we are no longer accountable for those sins, Jesus Christ is the mediator that stands between us and God and says, not today. So just as that goat is what stood between God and the high priest for the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ stands between us and God. Because without the blood of Christ, which cools the wrath of God, we would have no hope of eternity. So Jesus Christ, not only being the high priest, but also being the goat or the scapegoat for us and bearing our burdens, but also more importantly, that he takes away our sins. Like the children of Israel, we're guilty of sin because we've transgressed the laws of God. 1 John 3:4 and Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I both are guilty of that. For the wages of sin is death, as we see in Romans 6:23. But also, because of what Christ did at Calvary, it tells us at the end of that verse that we have life. Because of the sin offering that Jesus did, because of the burdens that were placed upon him, because he's willing to stand between us and God, we have eternal life. And that's what we look forward to. Because our sinfulness, we are not fit to come before the holy throne of God. But Christ makes that possible. You see, in the most holy of holies, as the high priest would enter in, it was his job as he would cleanse himself, putting on certain garments, all of these rituals that he had to go through. But nobody else could enter into the most holy of holies. Only the high priest could do that. One that was selected from the tribe. And it was his job to enter into that place to make sure it was sanctified, set apart that the nation of Israel might be justified in the sight of God just for one more year. And just as Christ was cleansed as the holy priest, the one who enters into the high place in, or rather before God on our behalf, that those sins might be atoned, Jesus Christ is the one who stands between us and God. You see, because of our sinfulness, we're deserving of death. And just because of the nation of sin, the sinfulness, because of the nation of Israel, they were deserving of death. But God said, you know what? I'll give you something to appease my anger every single year. But the Bible now tells us that the blood of bulls and goats no longer take away sin. They can't do that anymore. And because we understand Galatians chapter 3, 23 through 26 says, we're no longer under the old law. We're no longer, therefore, accountable for having to do that. The high priest has already paid the price. He's already gone before God. He's already been offered as a sin atonement, and he's also been offered as the scapegoat. So when you think about atonement, it really means that we are at one now with God because of our high priest, because of the sin offering, and because of the scapegoat. Now we can stand just if I'd never sinned. Christ is that propitiation for us as we stand cleansed, clean, and completely guilt-free as we stand before God because all of those sins have been washed away. Jesus is that sin offering for us. He's that scapegoat bearing the sins of all the people that those burdens might be lifted. And that in and of itself, if you truly understand what forgiveness is, that that's being taken away, it's not something you have to be reminded about. It's not something that's going to be brought and put in your face every single year. God says you don't have to remember these sins anymore. As you look at Hebrews 5 and verse 12 and Hebrews chapter 8, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that's what we need. Because you see, every year the nation of Israel would have to be reminded that they were a sinful people. You don't have to wake up tomorrow morning to be reminded of that. Because tonight you would have the opportunity to allow Jesus to not only to be your high priest and mediator, not only to atone for your sins, but also to take the burdens or the weight off of your shoulders. To be at one with God tonight. And the opportunity is yours. If you're willing to allow Jesus to do that for you tonight, to accept the gift that's been given at Calvary, to put on Christ in baptism, first accepting what Jesus did, but first repenting of your sins, then you can have all of your sins washed away. Allow Jesus to take your place and allow His blood to wipe you clean. And maybe you're here tonight, one that's been struggling with sin. Maybe you just need some encouragement or the prayers of the congregation. Whatever that might be, let us help you as together we stand and as we sing.